We are in the last week of a series we're calling Photobomb, and we're going to get into that. It's going to be awesome today. Next week, we're launching a new series called Mixtape. How many of y'all ever made a mixtape back in the day? Yeah. And sent it out to your lover? You know, come on. Many of y'all don't even know what that is. That's a tape. That's a cassette tape. And we used to make mixtapes. We'll talk all about that. We want to set a flow for our marriage, our money, our family, our kids, our school, all kind of stuff. So we want to come back next Sunday for that. But today we're talking about Photobomb. And back in the old days when there were actual pictures, you know, paper pictures, and there was somebody in your picture that you didn't like or had left your life, and you still liked the picture itself, you would take some scissors and you'd begin to carve them out and discard them or the whatever it is that you didn't want in the picture anymore and save the other part of the picture. Anybody ever do that? My grandma, who was here last week, she's going to turn 99 in a couple weeks in October. October 18th, she turns 99. She was a great scissor carving person out of pictures in her heyday. She has, you know, some beautiful family, but one of the family members been married 5 times, and so over the years she's had to carve out several spouses, and who she liked the other side of the picture. She's not one, so she kind of creatively carve out. Well, back in 1987, there was a software that was created called Photoshop. And ever since 1987, people have put the scissors down and just turn on the computer. And now with Photoshop, we can pretty much do anything we want with a picture. We can take blemishes out. We can make our skin tone exactly the way we want it, darker, lighter. We can take acne away. We can make ourselves skinnier. We can take out the double chin. We can make the sides of our beard that are not full, fuller. I've been a graphic artist a lot more before I was pastoring, but even to this day, dabble with Photoshop. And so, you know, there's parts of me that I would like to augment, but never do it surgically. But, you know, make myself taller, make my head a little smaller. You know, just certain things, you know, fix some acne scars and just, you know, make things different shape. So we all have these desires for our physical bodies, but it goes beyond that. We want to Photoshop our life. We want to take certain people that are in our life and sort of just kind of blur them out, make the picture of our life a little better. Eric and I have a great marriage. And been married 18 years now, have a great marriage, but there's times we disagree. It'd be great to just kind of Photoshop out those areas of our life that continually cause us disagreements and arguments. And can you believe that? The pastor and his wife disagree. Mainly, it's Erica's problems we need to Photoshop out, right? Is that what you're saying? Do you need a microphone? You need to add in anything? Take our bank account and just stretch it out this way. Add it taller this way. Come on. Let's Photoshop our bank account. Let's Photoshop our kids' schooling, our education, our time at Texas State. Let's just kind of Photoshop that professor out and add something else in there. And we want to change and tweak the way our life looks. I want to show you this video. This is an actual video of makeup artist and then Photoshopping that happens on a regular basis. Check this video out.
Thank you.
It's amazing, isn't it? What they can do with a little bit of makeup and a little bit of a whole lot of photoshopping. And then we drive by and go, oh, wow, that's so pretty. She's so pretty. I want to be like that. There's a whole nother sermon about that. But that's what we think is pretty. That's what we think is beautiful. And it's all completely fake. It's been photoshopped. In fact, Photoshop is not just a noun, a software. It's a verb now. I'm going to Photoshop this picture. That picture has been photoshopped. It's been used so much. And this concept has been used so much that it's just a part of our life now. And there was a character back in the Bible, in the book of Acts, named Herod. And he was trying to Photoshop his world. He was the king of Israel. And this was a weird time when Rome was actually in control. But they allowed the Israelites to have their own king. So Herod was the king. And he was kind of in charge of that region, along with a governor of Pilate of Rome in that area. They would govern the area. And Herod was very political. He was trying to win over the crowd. He loved the Jewish people and loved to, win over their affection and their support of him. So he would do certain things to airbrush out his world. And he found out that there was this Christian uprising that was starting to really catch some momentum. And so he began to persecute the Christian church and try to blot them out of the picture. And he took James, who was the brother of John. You've heard of him many times throughout the Bible. And he arrested him and eventually beheaded James. And this was very popular to the people. The Jewish people liked this Christian uprising being blotted out. And so Herod began to do more and more of it. So he arrests Peter. And Peter is this amazing character in the Bible that's doing amazing things. He's preaching. People are being healed when his shadow simply goes over them. They're healed. I mean, that's amazing. Incredible things. He preached the very first sermon of the church. Peter was an amazing man in the Bible. But here, this other guy, Herod, comes along and is causing a whole lot of stress and strain on the Jewish people and the Christian people. And Peter's life is not photoshopped. In fact, he is arrested and he's put in jail. And the jail that Peter goes to is not like the jail that we, in our day and time, are used to seeing. Some of you have been in jail. You've experienced some difficult times there. One of the worst jails that we have in America this day wouldn't compare to what Peter was in. It was more like a dungeon, underground, no light, no fresh air. Food would have been very scarce, if any. Would have been molded, would have been filled with bacteria. There were no beds. There was just rocks on the ground to sleep on. And so Peter's life was not photoshopped. If Peter's life had been photoshopped, he would have been standing up in the middle of the city. Flocks of people around him the whole time. They would have been taking pictures or whatever they did back in those days. And everything would have been glorious. And we see some pictures of him in Acts, the second chapter, where things are rolling and things are good. But then once we get to chapter 4 and chapter 5 and chapter 6 of Acts, things start getting more and more and more difficult. Whereas when we get to chapter 12, Peter is in jail. And the gloss and the glamour of the first church is starting to fade a little bit. The picture is looking very rough at this point, and he's not having this photoshopped image of this glamorous pastor, the first preacher of the church, the first leader of the church, being someone that you would want to live his life. It's a very difficult picture that Peter is living in. It says that he had four squads of four soldiers guarding him in jail. So that's 16 soldiers guarding him in jail. And believe it or not, in the midst of this horrendous situation, and he's in there for several days. We don't know exactly how long, but we know this happened during Passover, and Herod wanted to send him to his demise after Passover was over. So he was in there for several days. Peter goes to sleep on the rock in between these soldiers, and he is out like a light. He is sleeping very, very hard, very deeply. It says, suddenly, Acts 12 and 7, there was a bright light in the cell, and an angel of the Lord stood before Peter. This is a photobomb in the middle of the dungeon. The picture is not photoshopped, it's photobombed by an angel. And Peter is so asleep. Any deep sleepers in here? Come on, when you're out, you're out. When I take a nap in the middle of the day, like yesterday I took a nap, I do on weekends, Saturday and Sunday, usually take a nap. And so this afternoon, if I take a nap, I sleep so hard that when I wake up from my nap, I don't know who I am. I don't know where I am. I don't know what day it is. Literally, this is not a joke. I'm serious. And for a minute or two, I'm disoriented. Erica, we've been married 18 years. She knows now, after this long, to come to me as I wake up and she says, "Your name is Robin. It is Sunday afternoon. It is 3:30 p.m. And I'm like, oh yeah, that's who I am. Okay, yeah. Start orienting. Peter was so asleep, and there really, with the conditions that he had, he didn't have a sleep comfort bed and a big blanket and a fan going and all that kind of stuff. He was in the middle of this horrendous situation. So it's really a supernatural miracle that he was even asleep. But the angel has to kick him. It says, the angel struck him on the side to awaken him and said, "Quick, get up." And the chains fell off his wrists. Then the angel told him, "Get dressed, put on your sandals," and he did. "Now put on your coat and follow me," the angel ordered. If you go on to read, it would say that Peter actually thought he was still dreaming when this happened, because he's so used to sleeping this way. And so he thought he was in the middle of a dream as he was walking out of prison. And I had a dream last night, a dream inside of a dream. If you have one of those kind of Inception type deal where you're dreaming and there's another dream, well, I had this last night, and I had this dream that I was looking in the mirror and I'd shaved my beard, and I was just like, oh, my face looks horrible. I look naked. I look fat. And so I was really struggling in the mirror in my dream. And I walk out of the bathroom as I'm looking in the mirror, and I come into the kitchen area. I was at my parents' house, and my wife and family were there. We started talking about me shaving my beard. And I said in my dream, I know this sounds weird, but I think I'm actually dreaming right now, and I actually didn't shave my beard. I think that this is just a dream. And it was. I woke up to a full beard. Thank you. This is what was going on with Peter. He thought, this is crazy. This is a dream. But for him, it actually was not a dream. The angel had woken him up, kicked him in the side, "Get up." And we don't know how God supernaturally did this. We don't know if he just cast a heavy sleep on the soldiers and they were passed out, or if they were awake and God caused them to be invisible as they walked out. But we know that Peter walked past all 16 of those guards that were in the jail, and he walked all the way out, and he's standing outside of the jail, and the angel leaves him. And it's at this point he goes, okay, I guess this is not a dream. I guess I really have escaped jail. And he's standing there, and he has a decision to make. Where am I going to go? And over the last 4 weeks, we've been talking about photobomb, and I don't know if you've been kind of taking notes and thinking about this, but angels actually photobomb these stories quite a bit. And I don't know if you're conscious or not of angels, but there's actually God working in your life through these beings that actually exist. Angels exist, and they do the work of God, and they photobomb your life and do things that you may not even be aware of. But angels are amongst us. In fact, Hebrews, the 13th chapter, 2nd verse, says, "Don't forget to show hospitality to strangers, for some who have done this have entertained angels without even realizing it. So you never know who that person is on the side of the road that needs help with their flat tire, or someone that's needing assistance, or someone that looks like maybe they got it all together. Who knows? But God is photobombing your life, your picture, with these angelic beings. It's awesome. So where does Peter go in this midnight hour after he escapes jail and he is trying to get his bearings? What time is it? Who am I? And all that kind of thing. Where does he go? What does he do? It says in Acts 12 and 11, this is Peter's revelation. The Lord has sent his angel and saved me from Herod and from what the Jewish leaders had planned to do to me. When he realized this, when he woke up and realized this, where did he go? He went to the home of Mary, the mother of John Mark, where many were gathered for what? For prayer. Many were gathered in a home for prayer. There's a message that's been coming forth from Promised Land over the last couple months about people gathering together in homes, not just in the temple, not just in the building on Sunday, but people gathering together during the week and forming pockets or families or clusters of people that are furthering the kingdom in a context outside of Sunday. So much so that they dedicated, the Bible says, they dedicated themselves to fellowshipping together. They met at church in the building, and they met at homes. And so guess what? Today I'm going to keep on preaching the message of how important it is for all of us who call ourselves believers and following after Jesus to find people that you can gather with throughout the week and not just on Sunday, and gather together with them. This is something that Peter was used to doing. This was not a new thing. It's not like he got out of jail and was like, I got to find some people all of a sudden. He knew where to go. He knew where they would be. They would be in Mary's house. So let's go to Mary's house and connect with them. And it says in Acts 2:42, the very beginning of the church, that they met in the temple and they met at homes and they dedicated themselves to fellowship, to breaking of bread, to the teaching of the disciples. And the fourth and powerful thing that they dedicated themselves to was prayer. They prayed for each other. And so if you're here today and you're wondering what's going to happen when you get into a difficult situation, you need to ask yourself, who's going to pray for me when I get in a difficult situation? Or who can I help pray for when they get into a difficult situation? And so Peter wasn't thinking about, this is going to be awkward if I go to someone's house. He wasn't like the normal modern day 2017 believers, Christians are like, oh, that's kind of weird. You know, what's their house going to look like? And what's going to happen over there? What if they ask me weird questions? I'm not sure. I'm insecure about this and that. And I don't know if I should open up my home because it's not big enough and people won't like it. That's not how Peter rolled back then. That's not how the new church did it. They dedicated themselves to fellowship and said, we're going to get together whether we have difficulty or we're having a good time, whether our friend is in the hospital or our friend is getting a promotion. We're going to get together and we're going to dedicate ourselves to the teaching of God's word, to fellowship, to eating together, and to prayer. And this is what they were doing the night that Peter was in jail. They gathered together because they knew he had been arrested. Because how'd they know that? Because they were connected to him. They were close to each other. When he got arrested, they knew. They knew all about it because they were close. And so they began to what we call intercede or stand in the gap for Peter. Peter's over here. God has not photobombed this picture yet, and God's chosen not to Photoshop the picture either. And so we're going to stand in the middle, in the gap between Peter and God. We're going to stand, we're going to take God, we're going to take Peter, we're going to bring them together. Prayer, that's what it's all about. To intercede means to stand in the gap. We are interceding. There's a a person with a need here, and there's the power of God over here. We're going to stand in that gap and intercede. We call it intercessory prayer. It's a churchy word for saying, we're going to pray for our brother who is in need. And it's important to know that it wasn't some sort of system. It wasn't some sort of official program that they had, that the church had. We have a prayer program, and this is how you sign up for the prayer program. That's not how it was. They were family. They were connected. Their heart beat together. They knew when there was a problem. And so that's how they lived as first century believers. So I want to challenge you, if you're new to our church and you're not connected to other people, I want to encourage you to get connected to other people. And we offer something this evening at 5 o'clock to help you with that. It's called Next Steps Night. At 5 o'clock, we're going to provide a dinner for you. We're going to provide childcare for you. This is all free, of course. And it's a chance for us to sit down at tables together, eat together, break bread, and to talk about how your life is going, how you can connect with God better personally, you and God, how you can connect with the church better. We're going to talk about gifts that God has given you and discover some of the gifts that God has given you and how to use those in your life. It's like putting the car in gear. You can go out here to your car and rev that engine all you want, but if you don't put it in gear, you're not going anywhere. There's so many believers, Christians, that just kind of rev their engine on Sunday morning, and then they don't really get anywhere in life because they haven't engaged. So we're going to help you engage tonight. So if you haven't done that, there's room for you. Please go immediately as you're leaving. There will be a sign-up table right out there. Please sign up so we can prepare this delicious home-cooked meal for you. We have some amazing ladies and gentlemen that prepare the meal for you. And we'll take care of your kids, and we'll connect with you tonight. Here's something that we say at Promised Land. That is, we know that you're not going to be here forever. Everybody in here is going to leave at some point, all right? That's just going to happen. You're going to move. You're going to die. Whatever is going to happen, and we're all leaving, all right? So why not get involved while you're here? Why not get involved while you're here? Maybe you're going to be here for 2 months. Maybe you're going to be here for 2 years. Maybe you're going to be here for 20 years. I don't know. That's not the question. Just hop in. Get involved. There's ways you can connect in many different ways. And the only way we can figure that out is if you come hang out with us tonight. So we'd love for you to do that. So what were they doing? What was his small group doing while he was in jail? Let's look at Acts 12, verse 5. It says, but while Peter was in prison, the church prayed very earnestly for him. Very earnestly they were praying. And so prayer, this is a powerful point about prayer and your picture. Prayer is part of processing your picture. We've been talking this whole time about how these pictures where God is showing up, he's photobombing the picture. That these pictures are not like the digital pictures that instantly show up, but they're more like the old school pictures that have to go through a dark room process for them to be fully developed. And sometimes we all have to go through a dark time, a dark room where we're tossed back and forth. That's how they used to do the old processing of the pictures. They would slosh them around these chemicals. These Polaroids, you'd have to shake them out a little bit in order for the picture to begin to be in full focus. And you could see, who's that? Fourth person in the picture. Who is that that's taking all the focus off of us and putting it on themselves? Who's bombing us? That happens after the picture is fully developed in this dark place. Well, what this picture of Acts 12 and 5 is teaching us is that prayer plays a powerful part in the process of your picture. Man, that's a lot of P's right there. Prayer is a powerful part of processing your picture. It actually is an ingredient that God created the world with. We know God could have created the world any way he wanted to, but he created the world with prayer, meaning that we participate in the process. And so when Peter was in prison, his small group was praying for him. The small group was interceding for Peter at home, and they were praying so hard at home. When Peter goes and knocks on the door, a girl named Rhoda comes to answer the door, and she answers the door, and it's Peter, and she freaks out and closes the door and runs back. She's like, "Peter's at the door." "Well, go get it. Why is he still outside?" So she goes back and lets him in, and he goes in there, and he begins to tell them the story. And I'm sure he's thanking them for praying for him. So here's the challenge today. I want to challenge you. Who is praying for you? And who are you praying for? If you are only dabbling in Christianity on Sunday morning, at Promised Land, we consider that just ankle-deep water. You're just kind of splashing around in the water. You're not really all the way in. And so a way that you can go further into your walk with God into deeper waters is connect with people throughout the week, and not just randomly, like, "Oh, I saw somebody at HEB, that counts, and I saw somebody." But instead of that, having meaningful conversations where there's accountability and there is living life together. A group of our people go to football games on Friday night to hang out together. It's awesome. Our Lockhart campus all went to the Lockhart homecoming game last Friday night, and they all sat together. What a fun time to just live life together. But they also are sharing meals on Wednesday night in groups all over the place, Tuesday nights and Monday nights, and people are gathering in what we call promise groups or small groups all over the region to connect with each other. What's happening in those groups is that you're building the relationship and the knowledge about what's happening in people's lives, so that when they start going through a difficult time, or they're locked away, or they're having a difficult time with their finances or their family, you know about it because you're engaged with them, and they didn't have to fill out a form on the Promised Land website to request prayer. You're already praying for them. Amen. Yeah, you need people that are praying for you, interceding for you in the time of your darkest hour. And there's some people I know back sitting here like, "Pastor, we don't need that. We're good." Yeah. But they need you. They need your prayers. They need you to know about them. You think you got it all together? Great. Congratulations. You got it together. They don't. They need you in their life, rubbing elbows. And let me just give you a little hint. You don't have it together as much as you think. And sometimes the pictures can be clicking along like it was with Peter in Acts 2, the superhero pastor, 3,000 people joining. And then by the time he gets to chapter 12, the picture has changed. He's in jail. He didn't do anything wrong. Who's praying for him? His small group. They are connected. As you came in, we have these available. Hopefully you got one as you walked in the door. If not, we have these little cards like this where there are 53 different options for you to connect with other believers this week. And as you can imagine, we have all different types of groups. We have groups at the top called classical groups. These talk about the sermon from today. So they'll meet this week all throughout the region. Some family groups with kids, some empty nester groups, single, some men, some women only. They're talking about, they'll go through these texts, they'll ask questions, they'll dig deeper. Then we have book-based groups that they're reading different books together. Then we have all these interest-based groups. So we have groups for Texas State, junior high and high school. We have photography group. There's so many. Food and fellowship potluck. Hello? And then there's the running one right below that. You can go to the food and fellowship, then you can go run. men's kayaking, road cycling, motorcycling group, gardening, Financial Peace University, missions, Girlfriends in Grace, nursing home ministry, street group, couponing. Talking about Jesus, cutting out coupon all night. All right? So connecting with other people, devoting yourself to fellowship. If you haven't got one of those, on the way out, our greeters and at the door will have them for you. You can grab one. Take it with you. Take it with you and just jump those hurdles that the devil has put in front of you. All those excuses that are valid and very important excuses that you have that are real. Allow God in his supernatural way to help you dissolve those hurdles, jump those hurdles, blow those hurdles up, whatever it's going to take, but God's going to help you devote yourself to fellowship. Let me end with this thought right here. I don't know if you've looked in a dictionary lately. I love dictionaries, old-fashioned books, you know, just digging through them. They actually added Photoshop to the dictionary a few years ago. Some of the dictionaries have Photoshop. This is the definition. The official definition says a photo bomb occurs when a third party interferes with a photo in such a way that it shifts the original focus from the original subjects to the third party. And so here's the truth from God's word that we found week after week, every Bible story that you read. God does not want to Photoshop your picture. He wants to photobomb your picture. He doesn't want to come in and airbrush things a certain way so that your life looks all perfect and pretty and like nothing ever happened. Instead of that, he wants to get in the picture himself. Because when he gets in the picture himself, the focus goes from you to him. That's awesome. I don't want God to Photoshop my picture because then he's not in it. I want him. And so when he does this, you see it. There's the dirtiness of life and the difficulty of life that you want to change somehow. The truth of God is that he doesn't want to just come in and blend things and blur things and subtract things. He wants to get into it. He wants to come into your life. Why don't we bow our heads right now and let's reflect for a minute of how this personally applies to each and every one of us. That God wants to get in the middle of your mess, and he wants to get the credit when the scene begins to change. He wants to shift the focus of your life off of you and onto him. God wants people to look at your picture of life and go, wow, look what God is doing in their life. Not, wow, look how good this person is. If we can surrender to this powerful biblical truth, we will begin to see the transformation of God in a supernatural way in our life. If you go on to read the end of Acts chapter 12, you see that after God photobombs the picture, Herod dies. Things happen supernaturally when God gets in the picture. If you've been fighting that, then let's give up today. If you've been trying to make it yourself work, if you've been trying to Photoshop your own life, let's take our hand off the mouse, our hand off the scissors or whatever it is, however you're trying to Photoshop your life, and let's let God show up in our life. Might be an angel. Might be a dream, might be a word that you read out of the Bible. It might be a friend of yours that God is bringing into your life to make a difference. We see as Christians, we are Jesus' representation on this earth. So I want to specifically pray today for all those barriers and boundaries that you have that's keeping you away from connecting to other believers. If you have excuses in your life that are keeping you from connecting to other people, maybe it's your schedule. You're just like, I'm so busy, there's no way. That's true, you are too busy. But we're going to make a decision to change some things, cancel some things, invite people into the flow of our life and just invite them into our mess. Don't try to fix our life before we invite people into our life. Let's be transparent and let's connect with other people in the midst of the hectic schedule. Some of you have had a difficult past where people have done you wrong, and so now you're skittish. You don't want to connect with other people because you're afraid that the same thing's going to happen again. They'll betray you. They will take your secrets and twist them or turn them or show them to other people. Let's pray that God gives you the strength to try one more time, to take that risk of relationship. To others of you, you have a personality deal where you're not very social, you're good on your own, all that kind of thing. Let's pray that God would show you and me how valuable and important it is in His kingdom for us to share what we have with others, our good stuff and our bad stuff. Let's go to Him right now. He's with us. He's in our midst. He's listening to everything that I've said, and He's listening to everything that's in your heart, that's you've been saying inside. He's listening right now. Let's just overtly go to Him and say, God, we welcome You into this situation. We welcome You in, God. Revelation 3 says that He stands at the door and knocks, and anyone that will let Him in, He will come in and eat. He will commune. Fellowship. So Lord, we welcome You in today. Come on in, Jesus. Photobomb this life of ours. Come on into the frame, Jesus. We're not afraid. Come on in, Jesus. Come on, tell God right now in your own words, in your own mouth. Think it, say it out loud, however you want to do it. Just say, God, come on into my frame today. Photobomb my life today. Take the focus off of me and put it onto You, God. I don't want to be the center of attention, the focus. Instead, Lord, I want You to receive all the attention, all the focus, all the glory. God, You receive it, Lord. I pray that You would, Jesus. I give You my life today. I surrender my life to You today. Say that to God. Tell Him from a sincere heart. We don't know all the answers. We don't know how it all works. But in faith, we just trust today from day one that He's going to be with us. He's going to help us. And Lord, let's just pray right now for every hurdle that's keeping us from connecting. God, I pray that You would give us the courage to change our schedule, to get out of our comfort zone, to be risky and connect with other people, Lord, to be as transparent as we can, to take the first step, Lord. All these things that we know are necessary, God. We pray for You to supernaturally help people that are struggling in this area. God, that we would be there for one another, that we would be there for the people that are in these literal jails, figurative jails, hospitals, difficult work scenarios, people at Texas State that are thinking, am I going to have to drop out? How can I handle this new schedule? How can I handle this grade I'm getting? I have to work full time. All these things that students are facing, God, the difficult time. May we be a community that stands in the gap for one another and prays for the processing of each other's pictures, Lord, till they see You fully developed in their life. God, we pray in Jesus' name. Somebody say amen. 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 Yeah, clap your hands to Him. Yes.